This is Icon Art Radio. I'm Bill Teeple. I'm here with my co-host, Alan Cobb. And once again, we have one of our favorite guests to interview, and it's Greg Thatcher. I like to have Greg here because we can kind of traverse a lot of territory and go to a lot of places. Greg is the art teacher at the upper school at the Maharshi School here in Fairfield, but he also ran the art center here in town, the art gallery, the nonprofit art gallery that was sort of the predecessor of what I'm doing now. And so we have a kind of a common history.
Yeah.
And also we've been through the whole history of art unfolding here in Fairfield, and I think we did a radio show in the past about that. But he's here today because he's going to have a show at sponsored by Quad City Arts up in the Quad Cities here in the border of Iowa and Illinois, up there in Davenport, Moline, and there's an airport up there, and the Quad City has a gallery there. And a number of artists here in Fairfield have shown there. Mm-hmm. And I've never been there, and I want to go up there. In fact, I really want to do a Quad City thing because the Figge Gallery is up there, and I've never been to the Figge Gallery. And I was going to visit. I mean, when Sean O'Hara ran it, I knew him. He's been to Icon, and we had plans to go up there and have a tour and everything. And in the meantime, since time goes by and things change, he ended up in Iowa City he's now the director of the University of Iowa Art Museum and is involved with the plans for the whole new museum to be built up there.
Wow.
Because it went away with the flood. Not the art. They got the art out of there in time, but they'll never get insurance again on that building, so they're going to have to build a whole new building, and he'll be involved with all that planning, which should be exciting. Mm-hmm. Right now, they have spread the collection. They actually have a lot of the permanent collection at the Figge in Davenport, which is supposed to be a nice installation, and then they took 5,000 square feet at the Memorial Union up in Iowa City as a temporary museum. But getting back to the Quad Cities, I've had a lot of interest in that place, and I will take a tour up there one day. And maybe while your show is there, we might even be able to go up and see the show at the airport. But tell us a little bit about the Quad City Arts and this program that they have and the gallery at the airport.
Okay. Well, the way I was invited to put some work in. I had put some work in the Augustana College. They have a competition every year, which I would encourage a lot of artists to do. It's a competitive exhibit. It's a small little gallery, but the college it's a beautiful college, close to the river. It's really nice. And they had a competition, and the lady who runs the Quad City Arts got in touch with me, and she said, would you like to submit for this? So I did, and then I got accepted. And then she sends me this, like 6-page contract with all these, and you read this and all that. So I went through all the steps and did all that. And she encouraged me to put a lot of work in there, which I did. And I like you, I had never gone up to the Moline Airport. So I thought, well, should I take that much work? She's asking me to bring like 30 pieces and. So I thought, okay, I'll just do it. I don't want to be egotistical, but she's asking for the work. So I said, fine. So I just went with what she asked. So I went up, and just before you go through the security check, as you're walking down on your right-hand side, there's this incredible space. And there's 80 feet of wall space that's behind probably quarter-inch glass with about a 3-foot backdrop to where you would hang the work. And then there's these pillars that are about 4 feet square, 4 feet by 4 feet by 4 feet by 4 feet. And there in the middle of that is it's sheetrocked off, and it has a gray carpet. And then you can put work in there and show that as well. So it's well lit. It's a museum quality space. It's really, really beautiful. And I was blown away, and so was my wife Jen when we took the work up there. And then we come up for the opening, and the way they had hung it was gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. You know, instead of putting the mix of the different work, there's a sculpture from Chicago. There's a guy named, what's his name? Steve Sinner, who does these vessels that are turned, and then he'll have people draw on them or he'll work on them with metal leaf. His and my work, it is so beautiful together. They're so nice. So she arranged the exhibit really nicely, so everything seems to work together. And the way she would put the sculpture stand, so it wouldn't be parallel with the glass, but it would be just a little bit off. So there's just this nice touch, so that when you look at it, it's not stagnant. Everything is beautifully done. The spacing is nice. It's a great gallery. And they say that there's 1,000 people go through there every day. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people.
Definitely.
Yeah. And so, you know, I was really amazed that I was accepted to be able to do it, and then to have the opportunity to go down, and it's a 2-month show.
Wow.
You know, so
60,000 people.
60,000 people. I don't know if those numbers are completely correct, because I was there, you know, during the time when we were putting the show up, but we weren't there when that many planes were coming through, so I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. But that's not people who are just getting on planes. That's people picking them up, right, and, you know, all of that stuff, sure, as well. But it's right by the little waiting area, you know. So it's in a prime place. Mm-hmm. And most of the people there's a lot of people from Fairfield who fly out of Moline.
It's,
because it's considered as an international airport.
Yeah.
So, you know, and they have like 6 or 7 flights a day that come in and out. So I think it's an incredible space. I mean, I would encourage anybody to get in touch with the Quad Cities Art and you know.
So what's the lady's name?
Her name is Dawn. Dawn Matelo, and it's just www.quadcityarts.com.
So people can just submit?
Yeah, they can just get in touch with her, and then they can submit things, and they have 2 galleries. They have one in town, which I haven't gone to yet, and supposedly, you know, there's some pictures here if you want to look, Bill. It's also a very nice space. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they're dealing with 4 different major cities that are around there. So they bring a lot of people in. They also have an art walk that they do every month. And they usually try to have their openings that hook up with that, that line up with that.
Yeah.
So it's quite a, you know, it's quite a developed scene. And I think, I don't know what kind of businesses are there or corporations, but I think John Deere is around there. And mm-hmm.
there's a few. They're really in the great penumbra of Chicago.
Yeah,
that much closer.
That's true.
Makes
right.
a huge difference.
That's true.
I had the woman that runs the Buchanan Center for the Arts over there in a little bit beyond Galesburg, and mm-hmm. I can't remember the town, Monmouth.
Yeah, Monmouth.
And she was talking about, and she has a nice space there that we're going to have some back and forth with her.
Good.
And maybe mount a show here and it can go there. And,
yeah, no,
and
like absolutely. That.
But I think she has a connect. I mean, this is very close to her. So they do things.
Yeah, like I'm that. Sure something, I'm sure that Dawn would be open to something like that as well.
Yeah. And it's so just I just need planning. To connect with these people.
Yeah, it's just a matter mm-hmm. of planning. And so if they want to do something and then there's, you know, they just have a regular situation. They have a board, they look at the work, they see if the work is good enough. If it matches up, then there's a lot of freedom. There's
so
a lot of freedom.
You have 30 pieces, and there's 2 other artists besides.
Well, actually, I took 28 pieces there, and they hung 21.
So it's pretty good
yeah,
size
it's pretty
space.
Much, yeah, it's pretty much almost like a Greg Thatcher show with some other people's work, because the other people have about 8 or 10 pieces each. Mm-hmm. So that's what was really amazing to me. You know, I was really, really pleased because to have a space like that and to have that much work there, you know, it's almost like a little retrospective in a way.
Right. And I was just very curious because I've heard of this a number of times mm-hmm. and artists I know have shown up there, but I had no idea what it was actually like. And so you've given us a clue here. So I'll look more into it.
And hopefully, you know, they say that the sales that it's fair, some of the artists that I'm showing with had, lady from Chicago, she said that, you know, last time that she did fairly well with her sale. So, you know, it's hard to say. I mean, what do you do? I mean, you just have to produce the best work make sure it's everything is very professional, and then hang it, and then push the press as much as you can, you know, and the radio and everything else, and then go from there.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, I can't see anything else to do. So.
Yeah.
But they're well connected there. They're well connected.
And then you have a built-in audience too. That's
yeah,
how,
which
that
is another, yeah, that's a huge plus, huge plus.
People who can actually afford to fly, so.
Yeah, that's a good one. Mm-hmm. That's a good one. But you hear stories, you know, the pilots will come and buy a piece, and then, mm-hmm. you know, he'll want to save the money on the shipping, so he'll make sure that he comes back through that time to pick it up, you know, so that it doesn't have to get shipped to him and all that stuff. So, you know, they hear all these stories, which is
cool. I'm curious to see how it goes that way. Do you probably have a full range of prices in your...
All the way down.
Prints, I mean, the embellished prints to the serious drawings with the... that are fairly expensive.
And then, and I have some giclées there and, you know, a whole range of things. And then also there's some things that you haven't seen. I have been doing some bigger works. I did a giclée that I came and worked back into. And
How big?
One of them is about, when it's framed, it's 5 feet by, 27 inches, something like that, which is a whole... problem when you start trying to get mat board that size.
Oh yeah, no, don't. Don't need to tell me about it. I used to do watercolors with Lynn that were 7 feet tall, and had to be glazed and matted. And
it's really difficult. It's really difficult.
That's why I paint 1.5-inch squares today.
I know. You know, just about. Well, I'll make these big pieces, and I did the thing, and I put it up, and I thought, yeah, that's the size. And I started looking. Well, okay, well then, how?
Right,
big can I go, and then you have to figure, a piece of mat board, if it's 8 feet, just one piece of mat board, it's going to cost you $120. Shipped, because they have, it can't be delivered.
No.
You can't go to Dick Blick and buy it, And then the frame and, then the glazing and everything else, it's a major, major deal. But it was nice to work larger, very nice to work larger.
If you've been working smaller, it's a real breakout.
Yeah.
To do that.
Yeah.
A lot of artists work up bigger, 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 and they think, oh, I'm bigger and bigger and bigger, and then they run into this situation that you're describing, and they start rethinking that, beauty of bigness. Yeah. But I think everybody's got to do big at some point.
Yeah. I really was charmed by Close's easel setup. He's got this motorized wall mount easel system, and of course he's handicapped himself, and so this thing, it goes down into the floor, so he can bring any part of the painting right in front of him, and it rotates, so basically you've got this thing on the wall that you can put in at any angle and any height, and he can raise
it. His recent work is unbelievable.
Yeah, he's really
unbelievable. So it's very gutsy. I love them a lot.
Yeah.
They're just so lush,
Yeah.
Yep.
Kind of reminds me in some way when you look at some of the lusciousness of the paint of the Tom Thompsons. And then you look at some of these things that he's doing with his. There's a similarity to them.
No, I'd really love to see him going in that direction with his thing, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
For the audience, we're talking about Chuck Close, the famous New York artist.
Yes, I left out his first name. I
should have. So you can all rush to your Wikipedia and figure out who that guy is now.
Look him up. Look him up.
Well, for those who are just trying to remember if they've seen him, he does usually very large portraits made of kind of cells, and the cells are almost individual paintings in their own right. There are hundreds and hundreds of them. So from a distance, it's almost photoreal. But from a medium distance, it breaks apart into an amazing grid of textures and colors and things. And up close, you can forget the portrait entirely and just examine these sort of
it's not unlike a Monet. If you look at his water lily series, you'll see them back 20 feet.
Yeah.
But you get up close, it's just completely abstract, wonderful, beautiful.
Yeah. Except his brush strokes, in a sense, are little rectangular paintings.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. interesting.
Do you have anything more to say about the Quad City Arts and the whole thing up there before we like go off on Chuck Close or Ralph Farr?
Close and far.
I mean, for me, it's been very exciting to be to work, have this thing. You know, so usually you find out a year down the road that you're going to have this show. So it's nice to have that to work towards. I really like that. And she's a wonderful woman to work for. Absolutely wonderful woman to work for. It doesn't put a lot of pressure on you. And you just, you know, she gives you the dates when you have to submit things. So that was really, really nice. Because a lot of times people, you know how they can be sometimes.
Really nice to have somebody that's easy to work with.
That wasn't there at all. So you're considered as a professional. And you just do and meet the dates. And if you're a little bit late because there was some screw up with the computer, something, not a problem. So she was really good about that. And as far as I know, all their marketing that they do, they take care of all that. They take a 35%. And if any work is sold, they take care of all the shipping. So the artist doesn't have to pay for the shipping. So it's really something that is worthwhile for people to look into, because, you know, the 35% is good. Them doing a lot of the work is good. You just have to get your work up there. When you put up the show, they put it up for you. You don't have to spend a day or two there. And then they have an opening. You know, they're open to different kinds of things. When we did the opening, not that many people came, because it was the first nice day that they'd had in that area for like 2 months, and it was sunny.
Yeah.
So not that many people came. So we're going to do something else. Yeah. We're going to do like a gallery walk.
But it's up for 2 months. And when does the show close?
It comes down on the 27th of June. So it's up for quite a long time. And so we're just doing the planning now, because there's four different artists and you have to kind of orchestrate it and figure out how to do it. The openings are a little bit different than they would normally be, because it's part of an airport. So since it's part of an airport, then you can't do your own catering. You have to pay. There's a little restaurant that's right across. So we all kind of balked at that. It's like,
little frozen pizzas.
Yeah, little frozen pizzas or, you know, whatever. So we're looking our way through that, kind of thinking away how can we manipulate around that? Do we want to have an opening? Do we want to just have a gallery walk, or, you know, what do we want to do? So we're kind of thinking our way through that one. And, but people know about it, and she's advertised it through all her channels. So now it's, in my mind, I'm thinking, you know, what's the best way to get people there? How can we come up with you know, you think this way when you're a curator, you know, what's an excuse to get people to come there?
Mm-hmm.
And, so I just did a radio show up there, and we're doing this one. And now we're thinking, well, we'll do this kind of gallery walk thing, which is a different spin than what they normally do, because they just usually have an opening. But a gallery walks are nice because it gives a chance for people to meet the artist more intimately, because you can actually, he's there and you can talk to them.
I love the gallery walks.
Gallery walks are fantastic. You know, they're really fantastic. Openings, I don't know what your experience is, but they're always one of those things that you kind of... You know, you put up all the work, you spend all this time doing it, and now you just want to hide. You know?
And I know the experience. Yeah, we have, of course, the uniqueness of the First Friday Art Walk here, which is more of an art. It's more of a Fairfield festival once a month.
So yeah.
The art walk is sort of worked in there. The name is always going to be on it, no matter whether what else is going
whatever
on.
It becomes, yeah, yeah.
So it isn't your typical opening. So my idea of a special night for the members and the interested public is when we have a reception and art walk.
That's
my favorite thing. And actually, those are some of my favorite things that we do at ICON.
Mm.
The informal discussions that happen around as we walk through the art.
Well, the so-called art walk night itself is so crowded that you can't really look at the art. It's a social event, and there's you know, when there's 100 people in the gallery, it's difficult to see past them to the walls.
No, it's pretty much a social.
It's great
event.
That many people come in and
but it is important that people come, and it, you know, it kind of sets up a tradition.
I never complain about this event in Fairfield once a month because I'm guaranteed, 400 to 800 people in the door.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's really a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot. We've had 1,000, I think, before in the summertime.
Yeah.
So it's been a great event for Fairfield, especially bonding the community and the inner bringing together of the different kind of aspects of the community, meditating the community and the town community.
Well, it sets a nice kind of diverse but thoughtful tone to the square and the whole environment of the town is I think significantly enhanced by having something like that that's really carefully thought out and gives people a chance to see things they otherwise would not go very far out of their way to see. And of course, for those who are already art lovers, it's great. But I think the real service we're providing is exposing more and more people to more and more different kinds of things, including exposing the artists to Dodge Power Wagons. And, it goes both ways.
Right.
But it's a service. And, it's a service that, thank God for Bill that's doing this because it creates a quality culture, which is extremely important.
Mm-hmm.
And, that brings people here.
Yeah.
I mean, what about Randy? I mean, Randy came here
We find a lot of people are coming to Fairfield now just for the culture here.
Yes.
Yeah.
That live in the region and they're looking for a small scale, the human scale of a smaller town that has the amenities of the larger city and the culture of the larger city. And Fairfield is more and more blossoming in that way. So more and more people are just coming here for that, not for the meditation or for some new age thing that's going on here, but for the culture and the arts.
So it's, that's very important. It's extremely important.
Well, it's keeping me here the thing is,
the longer you're here and I've been here since 1978 and you see different things happening. And you see people come in and have a lot of money and then their money goes away. And then there's Black Friday and then whatever color when the financial movement moves. But what is consistent? It's the artists are consistent. The artists have been consistent since day one.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can draw on all of that and then do something with it. And it's helped to create what Fairfield is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm convinced of that.
Yeah.
And because, people look at Fairfield, icon, or, you got all these artists here and all these people. And, look at the music scene now. I mean, the music scene goes on all the time. It's amazing. So all these different things are so important to the fabric of our town.
Yeah.
It's so important. And so it's a matter of just, making more connections.
And little by little, we're getting to be known nationally. I mean, the Smithsonian selected us as one of the top 20 small towns in the nation, most interesting small towns in the nation. We were like number 7. I mean, that's something.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it's phenomenal.
And it is this total package and rich culture and the entrepreneurial thing here and the science and the sustainability thing here. There's so much going on here that makes it an encapsulation of kind of the small city of the future that we want to see.
Right.
Well, and we have this substantial dose of, I'm not sure a simple way to characterize it, but the influence of the meditation and the domes and people being overtly supportive of one another. In ways that don't always crop up spontaneously. Yeah, there's lots of nice little communities, but people aren't really looking out for one another as much as they could be. And I think here, there's just an undercurrent of acceptance and flexibility and support and interest and the ability to focus and stay relaxed at the same time. You know, performers have said again and again, and I guess I always mention this, but at the Sondheim, when people came from Broadway to perform here, we felt terrible because it wasn't a full house. And there the actors were saying it's half a house here is more exciting than a full house on Broadway.
That's interesting.
Because it's not a bunch of drunken tourists who are out for, you know, special effects entertainment. It's people who are actually paying attention to what you're doing.
What you're doing.
But that affects everything. It's not just the arts. It affects people who are getting ideas about starting a business or trying to solve problems in an existing business or trying to get along with their neighbor or whatever it is. And an institution like ICON is just kind of a symptom of that.
Symptoms. Thank you, doctor.
Yes, it's a manifestation of that synergy, which is on many different dimensions.
Well, it's also levels. Too. It's when you look at what's the outcome from practicing meditation. The outcome is development of creativity. I mean, that's what we see. And so, you know, ICON is an extension from that. So it's something that helps to feed that, helps to feed the community, helps to feed the town. It helps to feed everything. So it's, in that sense, it plays a huge role as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. In nurturing, because that's what art's all about anyway, isn't it? I mean, it's to nurture. It's to reconnect. It's to bring a person back to experience what they are. Yeah. And if it has that power to do that, and this organization helps to do that, that's a great thing. It's
Absolutely.
A wonderful thing.
Yeah.
Because it's continues to nurture that which needs to be nurtured.
Right.
Which is what is extremely important for life itself to continue to grow. So my hat goes off to Uncle Bill.
Yes.
Well, thank you, Greg Thatcher, for visiting again with us on ICON Art Radio.
Thank you. I'd come anytime.
You've been listening to ICON Art Radio, a production of Iowa Contemporary Art, Fairfield.